Welcome to NACE Clinical Highlights. I'm Dr. Greg Sherman, Chief Medical Officer at NACE. This is the second episode in a two-part series on recent updates in the diagnosis and management of prurigo nodularis. Joining me is Dr. Sean Quatra. Dr. Quatra is an Associate Professor of Dermatology and Oncology and Director of the Johns Hopkins Itch Center at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. So glad you could join me today, Sean.
Thanks for having me, Greg. I'm very excited to be here today to talk about prurigo nodularis.
Likewise as well. It's really under-recognized and certainly under-treated by our colleagues. So in the first podcast, we talked about recognition and diagnosis. In this one, we're going to jump into really management strategies for prurigo nodularis, including the role of newer immunotherapies. So Sean, I think anytime you talk about treatment, it's really important to understand pathophysiology of disease. So can you sort of enlighten us as to what we know now about pathophysiology of PN?
Absolutely. So prurigo nodularis is a chronic inflammatory skin disease that's characterized by intense itch and these skin nodules. And itch is the dominant symptom that patients experience. So first off, we can talk about that symptom and the neurotransmission of itch. There are nerve fibers that go all the way out to the outer layer of the skin. They go to the dorsal root ganglion and the spinal cord, synapsing and crossing over, and then they go to the brain. And so it's truly a process from skin to brain and back that's bidirectional, that transmits the itch message. Locally, actually in these prurigo nodules, as well as in the bloodstream, we know that there's significant immune dysregulation. So if you took a biopsy of a lesion, typical prurigo nodularis lesion, what would you see? You'd see inflammatory cells, such as T lymphocytes, mast cells, and eosinophils. A lot of these cells that are also very associated with a robust type 2 inflammatory response. So again, that includes cytokines like IL-4, IL-13, IL-31. And we also can see some other cytokines in prurigo nodularis lesions like IL-17 and IL-22. So together, we have many of these cytokines that are in close apposition to nerve fibers that can then set off the nerves to transmit the itch sensation. And you have neuroimmune crosstalk going on, where you really have the immune system that's then stimulating the nerves. The nerves are releasing neurotransmitters, which then set off the immune cells to release cytokines and back and forth. And that causes that terrible itch scratch cycle that patients have to go through. And chronic scratching also is a factor involved in fibrosis or thickening of lesions as well.
So that's really helpful and certainly confirms many of the theories that we now know to be true about other skin diseases that are beyond skin deep. They're really systemic diseases. So I think that's really helpful. So with that pathophysiology in mind, I want to bring back our patient, Tawana, who joined us in our first podcast. She's a patient with prurigo nodularis, and she shared her journey for diagnosis. I'd like to have her back and learn really what her treatment has been like and the impact on her quality of life. So Tawana, welcome back and love to hear how your journey has been since we last spoke to you.
Thanks again, Dr. Greg. So at the beginning of the entire process of learning what PN was, I was originally placed on a couple of steroid topical therapies, which gave me temporary relief from the itching, or I would just be in another itching frenzy. After several different topicals with a slight increase in the steroid content, I was then sent to UV phototherapy. UV phototherapy was the first time I ever felt some real true benefit in decreasing of the itching, which was really phenomenal. I was on phototherapy for several months until later I started a systemic therapy. The systemic therapy has actually worked pretty well right now. I've been on this therapy for a couple months. I am noticing a decrease again in the extreme itching. And I'm also noticing that the nodules are continuing to flatten. And I'm also keeping track of the fact that they're also lightening as well. So the dark circles are fading, which is really exciting for me. With all of this taking place, I love the fact that I'm able to see the difference in what my body looked like from September 2021 to August of 2022 and now. And it's really changed my life for the better. A couple of things that I have to make note of is how lucky I am. There are other folks who have PN and they're suffering greater than I am. The locations of all these nodules are places that I can put on clothes and cover it. And there are some people who don't have that luxury. There are folks who have it all over their face, all over their neck. And I can't imagine the turmoil that that must make them feel if I feel this way and I still have these areas covered. So I'm able to hide my disease in ways that other people can't. And I really, you know, tip my hat off to people who have to deal with this every day and have to carry it for folks to look at them on a daily basis. So things are going well. I'm excited and I want to continue the systemic therapy.
Tawana, I am so happy to hear that you've had such great results with the evolution in your treatment. And thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. And hopefully they will take that back to their patients that they're seeing with some optimism and hope for them as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I really hope my testimony helps.
It absolutely will. So, Sean, back to you. Tawana describes a journey through multiple inadequate treatments before an effective systemic therapy was found that she's currently utilizing. What kind of options are available for our colleagues that are seeing these patients to treat prurigo nodularis, and really how effective are they?
Thanks, Greg. It's a wonderful question. And to be honest, until the last few years, prurigo nodularis was very poorly understudied. So, you know, many of the agents that have been reported to potentially be helpful for prurigo nodularis have a very low degree of data behind it. So just case reports, open label drug trials, like very little data. And so to be honest, we don't have a tremendous amount of backing for why we do certain therapy. But I'll walk everyone through some of these therapeutics. So first off, many dermatologists oftentimes utilize topical steroids, something we do often. And those agents are actually less effective, in my view, in prurigo nodularis compared to other inflammatory skin diseases like atopic dermatitis or psoriasis. And the reason for that is because you have these nodules that are very hard to penetrate. So it's very hard to get actually the medicine where you need it, which is in the upper aspect of the dermis or the lower epidermis as well, where you have a lot of inflammation and have those mast cells and T cells and eosinophils. So it's very hard to get the medicine there. Consequently, many docs actually do intralesional steroid therapy where it's injected to get the medicine where it's needed. Unfortunately, there are side effects of injecting steroids. Obviously, you can have atrophy, especially in skin of color patients. You can have hypo or hyperpigmentation. And you can also have the appearance of telangiectasias or blood vessels. So that's limiting therapeutics. There's other topical therapies such as calcineurin inhibitors or anesthetics, but to be honest, they have very poor efficacy. There also is the use of phototherapy that you heard a little bit about. So phototherapy can either be with UVB light or what we call PUVA. So UVB is usually our first step. And the only thing with phototherapy is it can take quite a while to get going. So sometimes it takes 10 sessions, other times 20 sessions to really get going. So that can be very distressing to a patient who can't sleep and the itch is really ravaging their quality of life. So that's an important consideration to have, but it can be a great adjunctive therapy as well. However, I've seen many folks who don't respond to it. And then there's a number of medicines that are both targeting either the immune axis or neural axis. So recently, we've had the emergence of our first FDA-approved therapy for prurigo nodularis, which is dupilumab. But before that time, we had things like methotrexate, which you got to watch out for. Does that person have a history of liver or kidney disease? Cyclosporin, you got to be very careful, as you know, you all know about hypertension and other kidney disease and other side effects and other baseline comorbidities that could interfere with therapeutics. So that's been a major advance. Also, agents like gabapentin or pregabalin, antidepressants like duloxetine have sometimes been given. But to be honest, we've had very marginal results with those agents. And oftentimes very significant side effects because folks can get very drowsy and sedated, also can increase the fall risk as well. So there's a lot of side effects with these agents. And these, are, again, are based on lower quality data.
So certainly not very encouraging for great results from what we've had available to us, but you alluded to a newer FDA-approved agent. What is currently available or coming that is going to offer hope for our patients beyond what we've been giving them?
Yeah, this is the golden age for prurigo nodularis. I started studying this condition when there wasn't much interest and there was very little known about the disease. And just in a few years, things have really taken a turn. So we now have targeted therapies. So we have our first targeted therapy that's FDA approved, which is dupilumab. Dupilumab is an IL-4 receptor alpha antagonist, which blocks the signaling of IL-4 and IL-13. So clinicians are probably aware that dupilumab has multiple indications for conditions that are associated with type 2 inflammation, including asthma and atopic dermatitis, eosinophilic esophagitis as well. For PN, dupilumab was valid in the Liberty Prime trials, which enrolled adults with PN that was inadequately controlled on topical therapies, which is most patients. And in the PRIME studies, dupilumab significantly reduced itch compared to placebo over 24 weeks. And particularly in the phase 3 PRIME study, 60% of patients on dupilumab had a clinically meaningful reduction in itch compared to 18% of patients with placebo. And more patients actually achieved clear, almost clear skin with dupilumab, which is very amazing to me that these skin nodules, which are so fibrotic, even within a few month period, could have those clear. And again, the great aspect is the safety, as we know from dupilumab safety, as FDA approved in 2017. So adverse event rates were similar between dupilumab and placebo groups.
I agree. It's very exciting. I have been following the data on this whole class for quite some time, and I think it's terrific that patients have something so effective for them. But I wonder what else is out there that might be just beyond the horizon that our colleagues listening might want to be aware of.
Yeah, the drug that's the farthest along and very close to the finish line here is nemolizumab. So nemolizumab is an anti-IL-31 receptor alpha monoclonal antibody. So it's a biologic or monoclonal antibody similar to dupilumab. IL-31 has been associated with itch directly in terms of neuronal transmission and nerve fiber branching and the neuroimmune system. And so that's another agent that actually already has reported phase 3 data from the Olympia 2 study that had folks who had itch relief, rapid itch relief, and then also had a clearance of the nodule. So still waiting on the Olympia 1 study to read out, but that's very close on the horizon. And then there's a few other agents that are farther back in development. There's an agent called vixarelimab that targets oncostatin M receptor beta, nalbuphine, trying to modulate the opioid axis, and then also JAK inhibitors earlier on in phase 2, which are excellent because they're able to modulate multiple immune axes. There are going to be, you know, a number of agents that are at various stages in development. And this is amazing news for our patients who have been suffering for so long that finally progress is being made.
Very exciting. And as I'm thinking about, you know, how to help translate this information, it's, I think, putting some cases in perspective are really helpful to give our colleagues listening some sort of examples that they can utilize in the practice. So I want to throw two quick cases by you and see how you might recommend we treat them. So the first one is a 65-year-old woman who comes in with a six-month history of a severe, unrelenting itch on her thighs that wakes her up at night. She's got chronic kidney disease, GFR is about 50, and type 2 diabetes. And when we see her, she's got over 30 firm nodules on her thighs bilaterally that range from 3 to 10 millimeters in diameter. How might you recommend our colleagues approach a patient like this?
Yes, so this is actually a common scenario that we see. And with folks, topical steroids are always a great step to take, although they're unlikely, very unlikely in my view, to control the disease alone. But if you're seeing these patients, topical steroid something that can be easily prescribed. Usually for folks who have a lot of nodules, you can think about a few options. Triamcinolone 0.1% ointment, which comes in a 454 gram jar. There's also high potency steroids, things like clobetasole, halobetasole, fluocinonide that are coming in smaller tubes. So clobetasole 0.05% ointment, for example, is in a 60 gram tube, but can be a little bit stronger. Phototherapy is an option to consider, but again, it'll be a little bit slower. Drugs like cyclosporine and methotrexate are really would give me a pause here because of the, reduced kidney function in particular. I really wouldn't want to give methotrexate and cyclosporine. I think dupilumab would be a reasonable option for this patient. And one thing I would emphasize is that I do not wait to see if topicals work for a very long time. If folks have a lot of these nodules disseminate throughout the body, our group found that 2/3 of patients are itchy, not only in the nodules, but in normal appearing skin as well, that there's inflammation in that normal appearing skin, and there's also inflammation in their blood. So we are finding a lot of these inflammatory cells, higher C-reactive protein levels. And actually, I believe not treating this disease very quickly can lead to the development of chronic kidney disease or other diseases because of the inflammation that's in the blood. It's truly a systemic disease. So that's why it's so important for early recognition and early treatment of this kind of a condition. You don't want to let that inflammation, really fester here.
Right. So it sounds like early recognition and maybe collaboration with our derm colleagues, if we're a primary care clinician, to try to assess the role of both topical and systemic therapy early on.
Absolutely.
One other quick case. So let's say we have a patient who actually failed prior topical therapies that we happen to be seeing in our practice. Maybe this is a 51-year-old man who has a 2-month history of firm pruritic nodules on his torso, and the itch wakes him up at night. He's tried topical corticosteroids, calcineurin inhibitors, hasn't really helped. And you examine him and he's got, let's say, 100 hyperkeratotic nodules, some excoriations, maybe it's on his back. And he has a history of HIV and he's currently has an undetectable viral load. So a complex situation. How might you address that patient?
So this is actually a very common situation that we encounter with patients. HIV actually predisposes towards type 2 inflammation. So there's actually shifting from the CD4 and CD8 T cells to secrete more type 2 inflammatory cytokines. And so itch is a very common occurrence in these patients. But having this type of infection makes us very wary of the whole immunosuppressive class. So to me, topical therapy is obviously great to try, but, like you mentioned, many times you don't get relief. Phototherapy is really safe here. And so I think that could be considered alone or adjunctively. The only thing is if you have over 100 nodules, to me, it's rare to have complete relief in someone who has over 100 nodules. So I probably would very much so consider dupilumab therapy. And I think one of the advantages here is that the drug is not immunosuppressive from everything that we know, but it's immunomodulatory, which I think is an important clarification. So I have many folks who are actually taking immune checkpoint inhibitors like PD-1 inhibitors and develop a number of, itch type of indications. And we oftentimes are thinking about immunomodulation versus immunosuppression in treatment. And so that's a similar concept here. And I think these biologics and monoclonal antibodies in particular can really fill that important void and that important, therapeutic conundrum that we face many times. So I think this person may be a reasonable candidate for dupilumab there.
Well, Sean, we are out of time today, but I am super excited about everything that I've learned from listening to you over these two podcasts. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to speak with me and share your expertise on not only the diagnosis, but in this activity, the evolving management of prurigo nodularis.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg. And thanks so much for focusing on prurigo nodularis.
Thank you. And Tijuana, I want to thank you as well. It takes courage to bring your story out into public, and our colleagues that are listening will be able to take that back to their practice and hopefully help other patients with PN. So thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
If you've not heard it already, join us for the first part of my conversation with Dr. Quatra called Itching and Scratching, Diagnosing Prurigo Nodularis, where we discuss the impact of prurigo nodularis and how to really make an accurate diagnosis. We also heard from a patient about the impact of the disease. You can also go to the NACE website at naceonline.com and register for any of our other enduring activities on prurigo nodularis, atopic dermatitis, really any other program we've developed. Please like us on Facebook at NACEME to be part of our online social media community and get access to other content and programs we share. And finally, I want to thank you, our audience, for joining us for this podcast. I hope you've learned something new you can bring back to your practice. We look forward to having you join us for other upcoming podcasts in the future.